And I want to wish you a good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. On today's program, I'm going to be celebrating with you in a post-Christmas holiday show. Yesterday was the infamous day that has been chosen, I guess, by the hierarchies of the church to celebrate the birth of the man known as Jesus the Christ. In truth, though, his real name was Yeshua, or at least the name more closely associated with his life was Yeshua ben Joseph. And that actually means Yeshua, the son of Joseph, which is kind of interesting. And so one of the things that I have been looking at is really coming to an understanding of what all of this really means, if it means anything at all. And when I look at the history of, religion in our world, you can see that there's an interconnectedness there where what we know as our current Christian religions, Judeo-Christian religions, came from much more ancient ones. And if you look back to Egypt or Kemet, you will see the story of Isis and Horus, which is very similar to the resurrection story of the Christianity. And also, when you look through the historical record and you look from culture to culture, you'll find that there are these figures that, while not Christian, they carry very similar messages as the one that we've learned in our traditions. So, for instance, in the East, one would think of Buddha as the primary teacher. But if you look at the fundamental underlying teachings, you'll see that they're all very similar. They're basically asking us to live in harmony, to live with balance, and to live with compassion and understanding. And I believe that these are basic principles that are true whether one believes in a particular religion or a particular figure or guru or whatever that might be. The fundamental principles of humanism, of being a good, decent, caring human being, is what's truly the most important thing. There's no way that any one religion can be held above another. And in fact, it's the cause of much conflict in the world. So I think that when we look at the underlying principles, we're much better off and we have a better way of connecting on that human-to-human level with each other, and we can work together in ways that will help us create some kind of resolution and peaceful coexistence in our world. And that's ultimately, for me, what a day such as Christmas Day is all about. And Christmas, you know, is not really a religious holiday. It is a pagan holiday. And the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, I suppose at the time, decided it would be useful to merge the birth of their Christ or their Jesus with the traditions of pagan celebrations, which are basically connected to the earth and connected to the seasons. And so the winter solstice, I believe it is, changes on the 21st, and the light begins to go from darkness to lightness. So it's really thought of as the birth of the light. And so in many ways it makes sense, if you're going to choose a day to celebrate the birth of light within humanity, you could choose the pagan holiday for that purpose. And what it does is it begins to merge the consciousness of people who have perhaps divergent views into one unified understanding that there is this cycle in our life, and every year comes about this opportunity for rebirth. And I think it's interesting because conceptually, again, it really does go back to the times of Egypt, Kemet, and probably even predates that. So we're really continuing a tradition that far outweighs the idiosyncrasies of the particular religions of our day. And I really believe that that's the opportunity to connect on that level of a broad human understanding that all of us are interconnected, our cultures are woven together and borrowed from one to the other. And out of that, we come with this modern existence that if we could pull away from the programming and the inculcation that causes us to pledge allegiance to our religious beliefs, then we can just see very clearly that fundamentally it's all the same. The messages are very clearly the same. Whether one believes in a deity or believes in an energy, such as the Taoists, it's really all the same. So I think that rather than rejecting, at least for myself, the whole idea of Christmas or this birth of Christ, I find that it's much more useful to be expansive in our thoughts about it and our understanding of it. And truly, if you look into the message of the personage, the person who came into the world as Yeshua ben Joseph, you'll see that he never really claimed to be the only one, even though he may very well have been said to be the son of God, or rather than the son of man. He started out his life as the son of Joseph, or the son of man. And once he became enlightened, he resurrected himself as the son of God. But one of the things that he always said is that everyone else was capable of doing the same thing, of course, using my own words, because actually, I don't read the Bible. But, you know, you get these perceptions that sort of seep into your system over time. And one of the things I remember very well is that he said that, you know, okay, guys, you know, follow what I do, do what I do, and you can do more than I was able to do, basically was the message. And what happened is that as all of these religions became, what shall I say, incorporated into state politic, as the Catholic Church was with Rome, it lost the essence of the teachings. And as well in Rome, when, I forget the year, but when the Council of Nicaea came about to unify the Catholic Church, they sat down and decided which teachings would go into the book and which would not, which would be vilified. And they did that, and they created the Roman Bible, which is the forerunner of all Bibles, I believe, maybe except for the Coptic. But at any rate, so, you know, the religions have been compromised and have become functions of the state as a means of mass control, mass incarceration of the mind and the heart. So it's very easy, I believe, for all of us to reject these religions, and thereby, because the religions have proven themselves to be destructive, reject the concept behind it, which is the concept of one God or one creator or the force of energies that create existence. And I went through a stage of being an atheist, being an agnostic, and then finding my way into a kind of configuration of understandings that come from Taoism and Gnostic Christianity. But it's interesting that I believe that on a time such as this, we can really reflect on separating ourselves from the state propaganda, the religious propaganda, and go within our being to find the truth of what we can resonate with. And if that truth has a name attached to it, such as Buddha or Christ, that's fine. Or if it has a philosophy, such as Taoism or humanism, that's fine. I think fundamentally, when we go into our own beings, we are reaching into the well, the source from which our own intelligence and understanding arises. So however that translates into our being through our culture and resistances and influences, it's all good, as long as we try to keep ourselves very clear on where we're gathering this information. If it's coming from within your own truth, within your own heart, then it's something that can really be trusted. At least that's what I've found. And so I'm always searching for resources and inspiration that we can use to help us come to some conclusion about how to go forward with this and how to reach a state of more unified being. And I think one of the real challenges that we face as a human race is that there are these systems embedded within our cultures, within our religions, within our governments, that are designed to create control. And the only way to control a human being, which in truth is a sovereign being, the only way to control us is to convince us to give up our innate sovereignty and power. And so I believe that that's really what's going on when we look at the insanity that's taking place in the world and the violence. It's all an incitement to bring humanity into a state of fear. And out of that fear will arise anger and rage and more violence. Or it might incite a surrender of fear and giving over of your rights in exchange for the illusion of safety and protection. So, you know, I do believe that this is the purpose of the chaos we see in the world. And I know that there's a lot of talk and controversy over whether or not something is a conspiracy theory or whether it is in truth what's happening. But I feel that this is a very, very old story. And when you go back to Kemet, to the ancient Egyptians, when Egypt was a part of the continent, the continent, which I call the mother continent. And when the mother continent was dominant and in power, there was a strong ethic and there was a need and desire to live one's life in order to create the situation of heaven on earth. I mean, that was really what all of the mystery traditions were about. And that was why the pyramids, both in Egypt and in South America, are built on the configuration and understanding of cosmic understandings and very deep historical cosmogony based on the understanding of the solar system, which were translated into names and gods and philosophies. So there's this whole historical work that comes through and was taught through mystery schools. But it was a very arduous path, and because it was impeccable. And so there came a time, I believe, when people decided, you know, this is just too hard, and we're going to try to change this situation. So a new branch of secret societies were created, and as part of that creation, there came a desire to destroy that which was impeccable and to create a mechanism of control of the population. And I believe that's what was taking place in Greece and in Rome, with the establishment of new religions and new gods that subsumed the rights and the sovereignty of the human being. And so this is what's happening with the conquest of the Roman Church and the destruction of the indigenous peoples and the indigenous religions of the world. It's a way of destroying the truth so that the power can be usurped by this group of people. And I'm not assigning culture and race. I think it's much bigger than that, actually, because a lot of it took place before race became an issue. And so we're living in a society now, in a culture, where we're at the end game, where these forces, both divine and human on the earth, are battling with each other or vying for each other for ultimate control of the human being or the human soul. And we'd ask, well, why? Well, because human beings are greatly endowed with powers, divine powers, and are really capable of creating worlds, creating dimensions, creating realities. We have a very powerful inner world, inner consciousness, inner being state that when sovereign can create a magnificent existence, but when convinced to hand over their power, create nightmares such as the world that we're living in now. So we're at this juncture with the shift of the ages to take back this inner power. And so this is why I have decided that it's important to take a look at and to perhaps really celebrate and come to a deeper understanding of who this being Yeshua ben Joseph was and what his mission truly was in the world. And so, because he really claims to be the forerunner, to be the one to set the example for the rest of us to be able to embody and become as he was, a part of this energetic Christing state, which is basically an energy. It's not a name. It's not a being. It's a force. It's a force such as the yin-yang force in Taoism. Christ force, Christ energy is akin to that kind of understanding. And this person, Yeshua ben Joseph, was the one who came to be the first to display what that unification would look like. And according to my understanding of his teachings, the whole drama of the crucifixion and resurrection was also a story, as was with Horus you know, the in the resurrection story, is that it's about teaching us as human beings how to resurrect our own being from the state of being, you know, killed on the cross. And one might think, or one might say, if you believed, or if you looked at the bigger picture, going back to the corruption of the early Kemet and Egyptian societies, that human beings, as we are being experiencing the world, are still on this cross. So when you see the Palestinians being massacred, when you see black men being violated and killed in the streets of New York City, when you see the system that continues to perpetuate and protect violence, state violence, police violence against humanity, then one would think that this state of being on the cross is persisting, and it's persisting in a way that is damaging to the embodied state of all of humanity, because it gives rise to violence and gives rise to destructive behaviors, both self-destructive and outwardly destructive behaviors. So I feel that if we look to these core teachings that were offered to us by Yeshua ben Joseph, that we can find insight into how we can come down from this cross, as it were, of violence, state violence, and perpetuated violence of pain that we encounter in our own families and communities, that there may be some keys here that can help us to find our course. And in my searching, I did find a very interesting website. It's called ShantiCristo.com, ShantiCristo.com. And it's very much like the material in the Course in Miracles, for those of you who are familiar with the Course in Miracles. But it's more, even more updated. It was just released, I believe, in 2014, though it's been created over the last 10 years or so. And it really is very kind of strict in nature, and very much like the secret societies that began to deprogram and declutter the mind so that one could come to a greater understanding of who we are. So I do encourage you to go to that website, ShantiCristo.com, and it will be in the information on the archive, so you can go there and find it as well at the archive at prn.fm after the end of the show. At some point during the day or next week, you'll find it. But it's, you can go there and you can find some very interesting information there about the true teachings and what they mean, and how one can begin to embody it. And I was thinking, well, really, would this person that we know of as Jesus, would he have a website? And I was thinking, well, what would, you know, it's always been prophesied that there would be a return of Christ. What would this Christ do in order to reach the people? There really is no mountaintop. The only mountaintop probably would be the internet. So on that level, it does make some sense. And if he were walking around in sandals, preaching on street corners, he would probably be arrested and victimized by the police. And if not that, he would be shunned as some dirty homeless person by the working class and middle class of which many of us are part. And so how would this person, should he chose to come back, reach the masses? It would seem that the internet would be a good way to do it. So that being the case, I thought it might be a credible venue to explore. And so I found this website, and I found it primarily because I put into the website Yeshua ben Joseph, and that's how I found it. It came up, Shanti Christo Foundation. And this is actually a 501c3 foundation. And the material is pretty much copyrighted, but it's open and quite available. And it's made available in a book of material called The Way of Mastery. And The Way of Mastery is made up of three components, the way of the heart, the way of transformation, and the way of knowing. And when you go to the website, ShantiCristo.com, there are quite a number of PDF documents you can download with excerpts from these three segments of the Way of Mastery, as well as other different kinds of material that you can find. And it says, this book contains the official, extraordinary, and transformational teachings of Yeshua ben Joseph, who speaks not as a savior above us, but as our brother and our friend, to gently and lovingly guide us to remember the truth of our being. The 35 lessons in this book are a pathway to forgiveness, self-love, and acceptance of the perfection of each moment, and are designed to return the mind to holiness, wholeness. Yeshua speaks to every aspect of living in the world as Christ, with practicality, humor, and loving direction. He points the way to the correction of every belief and perception that would keep us from knowing our perfect union with God. The only question left to be asked is, how much of God can you receive and then extend to the world? And so it's available, the actual material is available through the website, but there's a lot here that you can explore absolutely for free. And so I thought it might be interesting to share this with you, because I've been looking at it and I've found it extremely helpful, actually. I did read The Course in Miracles and it was a transformative experience for me. It's a big book. I read the whole book, the text at any rate. And so this Shanti Christo Foundation is kind of an updating of that material. And I found it very interesting. Under here, there's a page which talks about Yeshua. 2,000 years ago, as you understand time, I came with a very simple message. And the message was the message of forgiveness. I have come yet again in many ways, giving the same simple technology, for it alone works. And yet the mind would have you believe that you must constantly make it more difficult. Surely there is something else to acquire, some great power, some great mystical experience. If only I could get all my outer affairs in order, then I'll remember to forgive the world, because I'll be comfortable. Rest assured that what you want to see reflected in the world around you is influenced by, is an extension of, the quality of awareness that you allow within your consciousness, moment to moment. And it's signed Yeshua. And I learned an interesting point from this particular website, that the name itself, Yeshua, is an ancient mystical name that signifies bringing the formless into form. So that's quite interesting that this is the person who came into the world to offer a key for the rest of us to follow. Of course, he came in during a time when his message by and large could not be understood. And here we are, some 200 years later, still not understood, but according to this website, ShantiCristo.com, which represents the energies, I suppose, the combined energies of Shanti and Christo. So one might think, or I'm inferring, it doesn't say that here, that this is the male-female creation combined of light. Shanti, which we hear more about in the Indian traditions, Christo, which we hear about more in the Christian traditions, I should say Hindu is Shanti, combined is one enlightened energy, giving the message of self-definition and coming to fruition, or as the Toltecs would say, to blossom fully as the divine being that we are created to be. So I do hope you'll take a look at that. And I invite you to stay tuned. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. This is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. We're going to take a break for some announcements, and then we'll be back with a little bit more programming. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices.
There's a very strong movement to have more farmers markets in a number of areas, especially low-income areas, so more people can learn about fresh vegetables and fruits that are organic and fresh. This will be led by an activist Sierra Club leader. Another thing on our show, Poverty Inc., the great movie that's hopefully up for a nomination and for the Oscars, will be shown at various locations in Northern California and Southern California in the next few months. I'm getting great help by a lady activist and health person in Northern California. My name is Bobby Elias, and I'm in Southern California. And our show is called Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Make sure you hear our show. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Baker. Join me Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the Lifeboat Hour. Formerly hosted by the late Michael Rupert, the Lifeboat Hour, now hosted by me, focuses on creating internal and external resilience to fortify us in turbulent times. Our guests, music, and call-ins make for a show that you will want to keep on your calendar and share with your friends. For the finest in resilience radio, join us at the Lifeboat Hour on Sunday nights at 9 Eastern.
My name is David Crow, and I want you to listen to my new show on PRN.FM called The Infectious Myth. Really, the only thing infectious about the show will be the questions that start cascading when the myths about infectious disease come tumbling down. There is no infectious paradigm that, when examined closely with scientific evidence, does not have serious holes. SARS, AIDS, polio, mad cow. We will cover all of these and even stray into other areas of questionable science on occasion. I hope you will listen and even call in. Challenge me if you like. Interesting discussions will result. If you don't catch my show live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, listen to the podcast. And if you use iTunes, do me a favor and rate the show there. That's The Infectious Myth, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, every week.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
And I welcome you back. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program, and I do hope that you had a wonderful celebration and sharing with your family and friends, or perhaps and you went into an inner sharing with your core, with your center, with the elevated ones that are within you. It's interesting. We are very expansive beings, and we can connect all the way to the source through our inner being. So it's always good to take a little time for that as well. Coming up, I'm going to share with you a small music mix in celebration of the holiday. It's a little bit irreverent, maybe, a little part of it. And I've embedded a little bit of humor within it because we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. After all, we are here to be joyful. This is a joyful season. And our purpose is to be joyful, happy, and compassionate and loving with each other. So I invite you to enjoy the music, and I'll come back afterwards and let you know what you heard. Stay tuned.
They are so Season. A time for celebration, magic, and spending time with the people you love. But don't forget who's watching to make sure you're not being naughty.
You better watch out. You better not Skype. You better log out. Yeah, you better not type. The NSA is coming to town. You're making a list, they're checking it twice. They're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. They see when you are sleeping. They hear while you're awake. They know who you call and who you write. So encrypt for goodness sake. With Congress in the dark and a cloak and dagger court, we're looking for answers and they're coming up short. The NSA is coming to town. They're making a list, checking it twice. They're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town.
Hi, I'm with the NSA. My name is, well, not important. What is important is the holiday spirit, that time of year when we all come together in the spirit of peace, love, and national security. Here at the NSA, nobody is more concerned with your privacy than we are, and we recently discovered it's being violated. By not us. Our surveillance network has picked up an extremely dangerous foreign spy. He seems able to slip in and out of any home with a chimney, and he moves so fast that the only pictures we've gotten of him have been blurry. This man, we've codenamed Santana, seems to live completely off the grid. We had to tap every single cell phone in the country just to make sure none of them were his. Turns out they're not, but we'll keep trying. Our search is complicated by the fact that he seems to have body doubles everywhere. He must be commanding these imposters to be unruly because they can often be found breaking the law and getting drunk in public. He was able to penetrate our most secret facilities and leave flammable materials there. We can only assume the sock was to be a crude fuse for the fires he wanted to start. We're just lucky he got scared away before he could ignite them. This hits particularly close to home for me because he put extra lumps of this flammable material in my own personal sock. Most importantly, though, he's stolen data from our computers. We've been keeping a list of who's been naughty, who's been nice, and who's been saying the word nachos. That one's just because we can. But he's stolen this list from our facility and wiped all of the data behind it. That's millions of gigabytes. It's critical that we get it back. So please, if you see a man matching this description, just open up your phone and say codename Santana or type it into a web browser. That's all you have to do. Believe me, we'll see it. With your help, we can finally put this dangerous man where he truly belongs.
Why does everyone wait until Christmas to give a present or a card? Why do they
Thanksgiving. Sin away till Yom Kippur or Lent. Save resolutions till New Year's Eve. And the rest of the year, we forget them. Do you think you'd forget where you came from? Drugstore to tell you what to say. The calendar's got a day just for fathers and for sons who have died in a war. And the 4th of July to that they had to die for. Why can't every day be like Christmas morning? Every moment a happy new year. Season's greetings in June wouldn't be called too soon if you knew there was nothing to fear.
Knowing with it I also again. If you were a flame, I'd allow myself to be consumed completely. Were you the wind? I would wish you to pass.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis. And this program, Heart of Mind, has a mission of sorts to help us connect to that inner strength that we all have. And sometimes it's so difficult to connect with and to find because the world we live in is quite a challenge. But we can do it. And we can do it by understanding each other, supporting each other, being compassionate and loving with each other, and looking at the real truth, seeing what's there without delusion, if as much as possible. We heard a holiday music mix, and it started very innocently with Little Drummer Boy by The Temptations, an old classic. And following that were the 13 Days of Solstice from a Pagan Yule Carols CD by Karina Sky. And then we heard a couple of, you know, interesting little pieces called NSA is Coming to Town, a Christmas Warning from the NSA. I'm not sure who produced that. And we heard from the Peaceniks, the late Moogie King Klingman, and his really fabulous band, the Peaceniks, very conscious music. And he wrote, "Why Does Everyone Wait Till Christmas?" The Peaceniks. And following that, we ended with Jewel and her rendition of I Have Seen, a very beautiful rendition of the song I Have Seen. And Jewel is also one of my favorite performers, I would say, of conscious music. So I am going to wrap up the program with this. I also should let you know that our opening theme is by David Anthony Clark. It's called Frog Dancing, a really kind of eclectic, spacey, spiritual sounding music. I feel very much like I'm being integrated into the natural world with that music. Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. I want to invite you to connect with me beyond this show. Of course, I do invite you to tune in on Friday mornings at 10 a.m. for Heart of Mind Radio. And I also would love it if you could go to iTunes and favorite the show. It's a good way of making that connection expansive so other people can know about it. Feel free to let people know about it on your networks, Facebook pages, whatever it is that you do to connect with your people. If you want to make a deeper connection with myself, you can do that through email. I'm using a new email. I know. It's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And this way it connects to the show. It's an expansive email provider that has plenty of room for your input. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Please feel free to email me with your comments, questions, recommendations. All that would be great. For those of you who are more interested in connecting on an even deeper level, perhaps to attend a movement class, Qigong movement class, or meditation session, or a private healing session, you can do that by phone. Leave a message with me on, this is actually a Skype phone, 347-480-1694. Be sure to speak clearly. Maybe say the phone number, the email twice to make sure the internet connection is secure enough for me to get back to you. 347-480-1694. And the website currently available to view my work and my videos, you can go to qigongonline.net, Q-I, starting with a Q, Q-I-G-O-N-G. That's how you spell Qigong. Qigongonline.net, Q-I-G-O-N-G. O-N-L-I-N-E.net. And it's a rather expansive experience with lots of videos, lots of insight, lots of ways to cultivate the soul, the inner being, the spiritual self. I wish you best for continued celebrations and say so long for now. And stay tuned to PRN.FM.